Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined once again by Congressman Brad Wenstrup, a man of extraordinary ability who has rendered really important service in a host of capacities to our country, notably as a combat surgeon in Iraq in the United States Army Reserves. He's a lieutenant colonel in the reserves these days, still treating our wounded at Walter Reed. But his day job is as a member of the United States House of Representatives, representing the people of the 2nd District of Ohio. He serves on the House Intelligence Committee, including its Subcommittee on Emerging Threats, also the House Armed Services Committee and its Veterans Affairs Committees. Congressman, it is terrific to have you back. Thank you so much for all that you do. We're delighted to be able to talk a little bit about it.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to start, I guess, with sort of your perspective as a influential member of the House of Representatives with respect to what happened last week, attacks that involved, regrettably, the killing of two black men in Louisiana and Minnesota, and also five police officers in Dallas, Texas. Give us the 30,000-foot view of this, if you would, sir.
Well, obviously, the gentlemen that were killed by the police will have their day in court as it should be. Greatly concerned about what happened in Dallas, as you might imagine, where we saw many policemen killed and injured as a result. And there seems to be a component within the United States that we need to be concerned with that are intent on creating as much destruction and mayhem as they can within the United States, and we certainly need to look at the root causes of their methods and what they hope to gain.
Yeah. Congressman, one of the things that we've been chronicling at the Center for Security Policy is evidence of collaboration between the new Black Panthers party and the Occupy anarchists and jihadists as well, indicating that some are really, as you say, opportunistically perhaps, but perhaps also creating opportunities for what some have described as revolution. You, of course, hail from Ohio. Next couple of days, we're going to have a major party convention there, the Republicans in Cleveland. Should we be concerned that this is something that we'll see more of in that context in particular?
Well, it certainly is a concern for what's going on in this country. We're seeing things that we've never seen before. We're fighting things within our own country that we haven't necessarily seen as far as violence and attacks on innocent people in the United States. The question is, what are the motives of those that are carrying out these missions? And for those that are declaring loyalty to ISIS, I think we need to snuff out ISIS. We've seen that they have a capability of radicalizing people online without ever meeting face-to-face. I have concerns when we see, for example, Black Lives Matter. Are they trying to establish better education, better health care, or are they seeking to be violent? And that's really what needs to be answered. And I think that we're seeing signs that violence is a component of their methods, which is a shame.
Well, it's a shame, and it's a problem, needless to say, a security threat to many of us, I'm afraid, and particularly with these attacks on the police and the divisions between the police and these communities. It can only get worse, I fear. Congressman, let me turn to one other thing you've been talking about, I know, of late, and that is the decision by the FBI not to recommend that Hillary Clinton be prosecuted for her, quote, extreme carelessness, unquote, about her handling of highly classified information. You've dealt with this for many years, both in the United States Army and now, of course, as a member of the House Intelligence Committee. What are we to make of the treatment that she's been given? And in particular, I would ask, should she be given access to more classified information now as a nominee of the Democratic Party?
Well, I would contend that because of the extreme carelessness, gross negligence, whatever you want to call it, it was extremely wrong, that I think we have to consider whether she should receive information or not. And I think the average American, the answer would be absolutely not. This is a person who's first a lawyer. She served as first lady and was certainly around situations for 8 years where she understood that things were classified and needed to be secure. She served as a senator and as secretary of state. When I travel, I leave my phones behind. I take a completely scrubbed phone. When I carry my phones day to day, nothing on there is classified, but I do have one that's my personal and one that's my official. I mean, these are common things. And in the military, we go through extensive training on an annual basis to talk about the threats of how you can be hacked and how you keep things secure. And so clearly this is not taking place in the State Department, or if it is, it must be ignored for her to carry out the things that she did. So I hope that we take actions, and on the Intelligence Committee we're going to take actions, but I don't think that that gives Mrs. Clinton an excuse at this point.
Needless to say, if any individual in the United States military, or I would guess even members of the House Intelligence Committee, were to engage in this kind of misconduct, criminal misconduct, that there would be no action taken against them by the FBI unless this creates a new precedent, which is deeply troubling.
Afraid it's going to do. I mean, you're going to start to see some of the cases that have taken place within the military that they're going to use that as justification to say, look, you've set a precedent that, hey, there was no intent here. First of all, Section 793 in 18 U.S. Code section doesn't mention anything about intent, because that particular section is there to advise people and to warn people that you cannot put information in the wrong place regardless of intent.
Do you anticipate, as your colleague Congressman Chaffetz has indicated, there may be an effort to pursue Hillary Clinton's misconduct in the context of perjury before the United States Congress?
Well, I think that you're seeing evidence where she said some things under oath that Mr. Comey has verified to be false. And so I think we would be negligent on our part and in our part of oversight to not consider that and put our facts together. But I think some of the facts are coming together, and based on the questioning that came out of that committee last week, where she said one thing and Mr. Comey refuted it.
Yeah, it seems to me to be a very important further step in this process. I'm sorry the country's going to be put through it, but I think it has to be a case where accountability is established.
Well, it doesn't. And if you notice, the State Department has reopened their investigation.
Yes.
How can they not, when they now know that people that probably still work in the State Department were part of sending information knowingly?
Let me turn to one other issue that you've really been on point on, and I can't thank you enough for it, Congressman Brad Wenstrup, and that is ensuring the reliability of the supply of things like tritium and highly enriched uranium for our various military purposes. The Department of Energy does not seem to be as seized with this requirement as you are, and you are trying to hold them accountable. Give us a backstory on what's happening there and why it's so important.
Well, we are trying to hold them accountable. As you know, Frank, tritium is needed for our military. It's needed for our nuclear subs. And currently, under the DOE's direction, there is no domestic source of production. Now, they're claiming that we have an ample supply, but this isn't something that you can just turn on and off. You need a workforce that's capable of producing it. We have something that like this that's so valuable to the operations of our military that we're relying on another country to be able to provide it in case we need it. It's extremely dangerous and sets a bad precedent, and currently it's against the law, yet they are proceeding in this direction anyway.
And the trouble with the tritium specifically is that, of course, it has a short half-life, which means whatever stockpile you have is going to be worthless in fairly short order. Relying on other nations, particularly some that may be hostile to us for this source of material, is insane, it seems to me. We're so grateful to you.
It doesn't make sense, and you bring up a good point about the half-life. Whereas if you have a stockpile, it doesn't mean it's good forever.
It's literally a wasting asset. Exactly right. Congressman Brad Wenstrup, this has been great fun. I hope you'll come back to us. We have a number of things we didn't get to today, but you're also on the case in connection with what's happening in Afghanistan and the disappearance of one of the worst of the jihadis who was let out of Gitmo, and we'll hope to have a chance to talk with you about that in the near future. In the meantime, thank you, sir, for your great service to our country and representing so well the people of the Second District. Keep it up. Next up, Gordon Chang joins us. We'll talk with him about what the ruling expected tomorrow that may go against China for its South China Sea predations might mean for all of us. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.